Utah considers walking away from a high-risk insurance pool. The University of Utah considers stricter rules for skateboarders. And Dan Nalen shares why Salt Lake is in for night after night after night of good music. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Friday, May 10th. I'm Brian Grimmett. Utah is telling the federal government it's not willing to take on more of the risk and the cost of insuring people with pre-existing health conditions. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services wants to cap federal spending on state-run high-risk pools because they are running out of funding. The Utah governor's office has to decide today whether to absorb those costs in the state or transition enrollees into a federal program, which they say will cost more out of pocket. KUER's Andrea Smartin reports.
The Federal Affordable Care Act mandates that insurance companies are not allowed to deny coverage to anyone, but that doesn't go into effect until January 2014. In the meantime, what to do with the people rejected by insurers because they're too expensive to cover? That's where Utah's state-run high-risk pool comes in. Governor Gary Herbert agreed with U.S. Health and Human Services to administer the program using federal funds in 2010. But now HHS says they're running out of money, and they want to put a cap on how much states can receive. The governor's health reform coordinator, Robert Spendlove, says that means Utah would have to absorb extra costs.
The governor was very clear when he agreed to do this that the state would assume no financial cost and we would assume no financial risk in administering this program. And the governor's position has not changed on that.
The governor's office told HHS this week that they would be willing to maintain the existing program, only under the current contract with no changes. But HHS said that's not an option. Spendlove says the 1,300 people currently enrolled in the state-run high-risk pool may have to transition to a federal program.
If they won't give us the flexibility to run the program the way that we need to, we will have to walk away. And, you know, those people are going to be in a difficult position trying to transition from a state-run program to a federal program.
Spendlove says that means enrollees may have to change providers and would likely pay more in premiums and out-of-pocket costs. He says the other possibility the state would consider is for the contracted insurer who runs the Utah pool, Select Health, to take on 100% of the risk. The federal government has asked states to inform them of their plans by the end of this week. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
The University of Utah's Academic Senate is reviewing proposed increases in penalties for skateboarders and bicyclists who haven't been following safety regulations on campus. University Police Chief Scott Folsom says after a professor was injured by speeding skateboarders, concerns arose for the safety of the university community. He says the draft is being considered that allows first offenders to be warned.
If they're caught behaving inappropriately again, that there's a more robust penalty, if you will, to help discourage continuing noncompliance with the policy.
Folsom says he would rather devote law enforcement resources to other issues, but keeping students, staff, and faculty safe is his department's goal. The manager at a skateboard shop, Milo Sport, Trevor Brady, says as a student and a skater at the U himself, it's not fair to target skateboarders because cyclists go faster and can be just as reckless. He suggests creating a skateboard-friendly area at the U.
Because I don't think you're ever going to stop people from skating at the U because it is such like, it's like a Salt Lake famous spot, man. Everybody goes up there to skate.
Keith Sterling, the university's communications director, says action on the proposal is being delayed because the U's Academic Senate is concerned about the severity of the language and wants to review it further before voting in June.
The annual Stamp Out Hunger food drive gets underway this weekend. The drive helps meet the high demand for food in the summer months when kids are out of school. The National Association of Letter Carriers are holding the drive in tandem with the Utah Food Bank. People are encouraged to leave food by their mailbox on Saturday, and their letter carriers will collect the food. KUER's Whitney Evans reports.
Last year, Utahns donated 1 million pounds of food during the one-day drive. According to the Utah Food Bank, nearly 138,000 households in the state face food insecurity. Gina Cornea is executive director of Utahns Against Hunger. She says more than 37% of Utah students receive school lunch for free or reduced price. That's more than one in three kids who are getting a chunk of their nutrition through the school lunch program.
Unless they live in a community that has a summer food program, you know, those families don't have more resources to feed their kids during the summer than they do during the school year. And so access to emergency food pantries and emergency food pantry usage for low-income families really goes up in the summer.
Jeanette Bott from the Utah Food Bank says the food goes directly to local pantries throughout every county in Utah. She says because the drive really targets kids who would otherwise have access to breakfast and lunch at school, pantries are in need of what she calls kid-friendly foods.
I guess that means things that my kids or your kids would eat, so would the other kids. So macaroni and cheese, peanut butter, fruit that comes in a pop-top can, things that are easy for kids to prepare themselves if their parents are not at home.
Letter carriers this week have been placing plastic bags in mailboxes throughout the state. Those who would like to participate should fill the bags, place them by their mailbox early Saturday morning, and letter carriers will pick them up. Bott says, make sure to keep your outgoing mail separate from the food donation. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
Utah Governor Gary Herbert plans a speech this morning about the ongoing negotiations with federal officials about a dual-model health insurance exchange. Herbert sent a letter Thursday to U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius, reiterating that he expects the federal government to run the state's health insurance exchange for individuals. Utah would continue to run Avenue H, its existing health insurance marketplace for small businesses. Utah Attorney General John Swallow says he never promised to help a businessman who's now serving prison time for fraud. Mark Jensen told the Salt Lake Tribune that Swallow and former Attorney General Mark Shurliff enjoyed stays at a resort in California that Jensen paid for. Swallow was an attorney in private practice at the time. Shurliff has dismissed the stories as lies. Swallow is already the subject of a federal investigation over allegations that he tried to arrange a bribe for a U.S. senator to stop an investigation against another business owner, Jeremy Johnson. He's denied those allegations as well, but the head of Utah's Democratic Party repeated his call yesterday for a special state prosecutor to look into the attorney general's actions. Saratoga Springs Police Chief Gary Hicken is leaving his position to serve a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Hicken will be the president of the mission in Nairobi, Kenya. Hicken worked as chief of police in Buena Park, California, before coming to Utah to organize the new department in Saratoga Springs. A judge has turned down a change in venue for Eric Millerberg, the man charged with homicide in the drug overdose death of a 16-year-old babysitter. Eric Millerberg is charged with felony child abuse homicide in the death of 16-year-old Alexis Rasmussen. The Onyx Corporation is paying $950 million to acquire the Outdoor Retailers trade shows held twice a year in Salt Lake City. The Salt Lake Tribune reports Nielsen Expositions has been running the shows, which draw about 45,000 visitors. Its management has backed the idea of a large headquarters hotel for the shows, but that failed to attract enough support in the legislature to pass a bill to facilitate it. Kennecott says it will wait until June 1st before taking additional steps to reduce its workforce. The company expects to produce only half its normal output of refined copper after a massive landslide disrupted operations. Kennecott is offering a $20,000 early retirement bonus to 270 workers to ease the sting of layoffs.
Well, to hear Dan Nalen tell it, Salt Lake is in for night after night after night of great music in the coming week.
This weekend and leading into next week, it's sort of like an indie rock, punk rock dream for some of us. My favorite of the lot, or at least the band that's really on the verge, I think, of blowing up a little bit, is the Black Angels out of Austin, Texas, who are a very kind of retro garage rock sound. Tons of reverb that you can hear when you listen to their records. Their latest one, unbelievably drone-drenched, called Indigo Meadow. It's really good. And they're a band that's blown up from sort of urban lounge-sized places. They're playing at the Depot on Saturday night.
And in case you haven't had enough fuzz when you're done listening to them,
you might want to tonight down at Kilby Court, the all ages venue, we have a really great Portland trio called the Thermals. These guys have been around a while. They come through pretty regularly. Their new album is called Desperate Ground. And what they do, each album, they usually kind of tackle sort of a big theme. This one is sort of their war album, a little bit of the pain of war, plus sort of the war environment and how to live in it in America these days.
Each one worse than the one before. A cold, dark horse, it hangs above. You have to leave to
after that on Sunday night.
If your ears need a break.
You're never going to get a break. Built to Spill, Boise favorites, they come through pretty regularly. They're playing at Urban Lounge. Then on Monday night up at formerly Harry O's, now called Park City Live in Park City, it's the Shins who opened the Red Butte season last year. They're headlining a show with Rah Rah Riot opening. So four nights in a row of kind of indie rock bands at different levels, at different venues. It's a pretty good indicator of where Salt Lake is right now.
And if your friends talk to you and you say, huh?
What?
Yeah. You'll know why.
That's right. You'll maybe want to clear out your ears before you go see Les Mis, which is in the middle of its run at Pioneer that goes through June. And you can always kind of get some of the toxins out of your system if you go to the bar. The Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure is Saturday morning in downtown Salt Lake. So go out and get some exercise before you go and rock out at night.
Dan Nalen reports on entertainment for KUER and blogs at SLCene, that's SLCENE.com.
And that is your KUER News Pod for Friday, May 10th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, visit us online at KUER.org or follow us on Twitter at KUER News. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.